This is Pure Decking, show number 389 for, I think it's Thursday. The computer says it's Thursday, and being as, you know, I haven't seen another human being in weeks, I'm going to have to assume that what the computer is telling me is reality, which means it's time to install Windows 10, because apparently everyone's installing Windows 10. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and apparently hallucinating. I'm Morps, and tonight we have a rare appearance by Mr. Suave. We haven't changed the intro music since the last time you were here. We have BSV.
Hello.
And Madman is here.
The last time I paid attention to the computer, I had to replay several levels of Metal Gear Solid. I don't listen to them. They lie.
I know how those things work.
Or at the very least,
don't listen to them. Yeah, yeah. When the computer tells you what reality is, it's you're in for a bad time, because it's not
been playing for too long. You should turn the computer off and go to sleep. Okay. Damn it! I didn't save.
Yeah, you got to enjoy how much Metal Gear was just trying to fuck with you in those games. Like, unplug, you know, the thing where you had to unplug the controller and plug it into the other port. I wouldn't have known that if you hadn't told me. I mean, it's like, fuck. So, anyways. So I guess we'll just go ahead and get straight up into it here. First story is from Gizmodo. Police deploy pandemic drone to detect fevers and enforce social distancing. And the GIF they have here is like a thermal camera showing a person and, you know, showing the temperature and then flagging because he coughs. It's like, dun, dun, dun.
Could have said, return to your place of residence.
Attention, slave. Vacate the street. I mean, you know. It's like, come on. Of course, it's overly dramatized, but I mean, this GIF here is just terrifying. It's because it's like standing, coughing, and it turns bright yellow. And it's just like, you know, kill him, kill him. You know, send in, you know, send in the spike drop. I mean, police in Westport, Connecticut, announced this week that they're testing a so-called pandemic drone that can detect when people on the ground have fevers. The new drone platform will also be used to determine when people are closer than 6 feet to each other. They have a GIF showing people playing soccer in these little circles around them. And every time people get too close,
awesome.
They turn red. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, you will behave or the robots will get you. I mean, it's like I think this is how Terminator started.
Yeah. What about, like, married couples and stuff like that? You know,
there's no context.
Can't expect. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bisbee.
But officer, I'm going to be banging her later on tonight. I'm fairly certain I have whatever she has.
Yo, my dick is impressive, but it's not 6 foot long impressive, officer, I swear.
What if it's just a really hot day? How does the fever temperature work?
Or what if it's somebody who's legitimately sick but going to the grocery store to get medicine? There's no context with this. That's the problem.
But, like, so the real problem, like, again, there's not so much wrong with the technology itself. It's just, how is it going to be used?
Badly.
And there's always going to be some dumbass officer who thinks it's a way bigger deal than it actually is.
Well, that's the thing. It's the police, right? I mean, their job is to catch people, and they get, you know, praise for doing so. So they have every economic incentive to determine mm-hmm. that, you know, it's like the police chasing down the guy on the Windracer the other day, right? It's like he's by himself. He's more than 6 feet apart. But, you know, they send that boat out there after him. And then they charge him for the, you know, the rescue effort or whatever. I mean, it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Stay away, officer. We're supposed to be 6 feet apart.
You're not socially distancing. I need an adult.
I need a different adult.
I need an adult without a billy club.
He's got a taser. How about that adult?
Hold up one moment.
Now just imagine a police officer wielding a 6 foot long billy club.
At least he's social distancing.
So, anyways, the new drone was technology was developed by a company called Dragonfly Inc., which has been around since the late 1990s and uses Westport PD's existing quadcopter drones with Dragonfly software. Dragonfly works with a deep learning company called Vital Intelligence and researchers from the University of South Australia, damn it, are you, to develop the new tech, according to a press release. One of the features of the drone platform is being able to tell when people get closer than 6 feet apart, something that almost looks like Terminator vision in practice, which is the joke we were just making. social distancing guidelines developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention stress that 6 feet apart is a safe distance because it's the theoretical distance that tiny droplets from sneezes and other facial excretions can travel in the air. There's a phrase, facial excretions.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, that means they got somebody with the tape out and made somebody vomit, projectile vomit, and then measured the excretion distance. Yeah. Drone operators using Dragonfly tech can see citizens with a green circle surrounding them when they're 6 feet away from another person, but as soon as they get within 6 feet of somebody else, the circle turns red. NBC's local TV affiliate in Connecticut followed police to a local grocery store and watched as social distancing guidelines were apparently violated, according to the drone's detection software. My God, send in the SWAT team. Violated because there's somebody, you know, walking in the store. This is nuts because at a grocery store, are you ever going to be able to maintain that perfect 6 feet at all times unless you're, you know, a jackass with like a hula hoop and duct tape around you to like force like some kind of barrier, right? I mean,
yeah. I had to get pasta sauce. I'm sorry. I didn't want to make it from scratch. I'm sorry, officer.
Flatten the curve program and associated technology may prove to be an innovative tool in helping the community practice safe social distancing while identifying possible coronavirus and other life-threatening symptoms, Westport PD said in a Facebook post. Other life-threatening in other words, yeah, once the pandemic's over, they're still using this stuff. It's not going away. You know, they're going to develop it now. They're going to deploy it in the emergency because, by God, we're never going to let an emergency go to waste. And, yeah, all this tracking and all this stuff they're wanting to do for Corona is not going apart. It's not going to stop.
Yeah. You know, just like how they used like Iraq to slam through the Patriot Act, which was only supposed to last for a little while.
Still
going. Parts of it is still going. Yeah.
Renewed you know, every year.
They'll use this to shoehorn a bunch of stuff through.
Well, I mean, they renew the state of emergency every year. I mean.
Yep.
You know, yeah, that's, yeah. Drones can detect everything from heart rate to respiratory anomalies and people on the ground, according to Dragonfly. Dragonfly, which also supplies drone technology to the Australian military, according to the website. The drones are equipped with standard 4K cameras, according to Dragonfly, and the secret sauce appears to be whatever software they're employing. How are you getting temperature sensing off of a 4K camera? I fully buy the whole software intelligence on distancing and identifying people because I've seen that technology in action, and that's fairly common stuff.
Yeah.
But
it's probably a sensor array. It has a camera, but it has more than just a camera.
Well, that's what, you know, the article says. It's just the camera doing it, which is bull. But, you know, now I've got some thermal cameras, but if you ever look at those, they've got a whole array of sensors besides the thing, like you were saying, BSP. Mm. So,
this is, and thermal cameras, like, are not cheap and are somewhat bulky, aren't they? For any sort of resolution?
Mine's not bad. It's not very big. Okay. It hooks on the bottom of my phone. It's about the size of, I don't know, pack of gum. It's not that big.
Okay.
It's as thick as the phone, certainly, but I mean, it's just a little bit that sticks out.
Because also, how does a 4K camera detect heart rate?
I don't know. I mean, well, when the drone's flying right at you, I bet you it's pretty high, isn't it? It's like, yeah, everyone's heart rate is at this number, and we arrive at it by flying the drone at you, so you run away and get your heart rate up. It's cardio. It's putting your population to get them to exercise. The Westport Police Department stressed that the drones would be used to monitor at-risk populations and won't be used in private yards. Okay, I've flown drones. Bullshit. You're going to go in private yards by accident. It's just how it works. But still looks like something out of a sci-fi dystopia when you watch Dragonfly Zone promotional videos. The drone software uses biometric readings to understand population patterns and allows quicker reaction time to ongoing events or potential health threats, Westport Police said on Facebook. The goal is to provide better health monitoring support to potential at-risk groups, including seniors, as well as for gathering crowds at beaches, train stations, parks and recreation centers, shopping centers. It will not be used in individual private yards, nor does it employ facial recognition technology. But I bet there's going to be a loudspeaker on the bottom of it, you know. Disperse. Disperse. Sending in at 209. I mean, it's, you know, it's just going to be... Yeah, that's what's going to be next is damn Ed-209s. You have been identified with coronavirus. Chunk, 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 chunk. You know, just start shooting.
Yeah.
You have 45 seconds. Surrender to the nearest medical authority.
You wrote this shit in a movie, they would dismiss it as too unrealistic. Anyways, where was I? Of course, they're looking at population patterns, which means they're going to deploy a fleet of these damn things, not just the one. Connecticut currently has identified 22,469 cases of COVID-19 and 1,544 deaths, according to the latest numbers compiled by John Hopkins Coronavirus Tracker. The U.S. more broadly has... Okay. Yeah. So... Anyways, the police are now flying drones attempting to figure out who's, you know, got the coronavirus. I mean, you know, you saw those articles about how, you know, things are going too far I mean.
No, we know it's gone too far when we send the Predator Jones... The Corona Brewery.
Yeah, I mean, might be what ends up happening at this rate. I mean, hell. So.
Now, to be fair, currently it is only in one drone in Westport, Connecticut.
It's not going to stay in one.
We're going to have to keep an eye on that.
I wonder how many other municipalities have got a similar program going on.
Yeah.
I would imagine quite a few.
I was almost thinking this whole thing almost reads more like a sales pitch from this Dragonfly, whatever.
It probably is. It's probably a paid spot, but they just didn't realize that, you know, we could read this dramatically and make fun of it.
Yeah.
So... Because, I mean, seriously, up until the pandemic, this was a solution in search of a problem. You know, how are we going to sell this thing to the police? Oh, look, it's got a thermal camera on it. Maybe you can see when the criminal's hiding in the bushes. But, now look, we can use it to look for coronavirus. So.
I mean, if one guy has to sit there and pilot each drone, it's not super useful, in my opinion. If you could have them all set, like, have, like, a dozen of them set up, let's say, with waypoints that they patrol, and it alerts you when the AI detects certain situations. So one guy can handle a dozen drones. All of a sudden, that becomes a lot more economical.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what probably why they have the automated distance detector.
Yeah.
Oh, this drone is detecting a lot of people within 6 feet of each other.
You know, I'm almost more interested in the logistics of dealing with that sort of thing. You know, a drone, you know, battery life isn't going to be that awesome.
So,
like a base station fucking carrier vans or something, I don't know.
So I'm aware of some security companies that employ drones, and what they do is, you're right, they fly a pattern, and they have a base station, and they land, and they charge up, and so they just, you know, they land for a set period of time, they get up, they fly, they patrol, they take their photos of their set locations, okay. And that's what they're doing, unless an operator decides they want to fly one manually, in which case they get it up, fly it around, just like you or I do when we're playing with our drones.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's... You know.
Look, man, we're living in the future.
Depending on how many of them you could do with cameras, that could be a way of patrolling high crime areas looking for, like, vandalism and other petty crimes.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
That one, you don't require a thermometer. It's like, you see your face, you have the spray paint. Sir, you drew the dick on the overpass. Pay your $75 fine.
You will comply.
So. Oh, and then we can load him with pepper balls. Pay your fine, or you will see free these.
Yeah, I'm seeing in the IRC here, they're talking about the thermal camera. It's going to be able to pick up, like, smokers, people doing drugs, stuff like that. Like, really far away.
Oh, yeah.
That's, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we're just checking your temperature. The only reason we have this.
Couldn't possibly.
We stopped you because the drone smelled weed on you from.
Yeah. Oh, it could actually do that. Put chemical sensors on it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they've used that for tracking down people doing sketchy emissions and stuff like that. Like a factory in China or something. Off-putting a bunch of CFCs or something like that. It wasn't supposed to fly around with sensors.
I mean, yeah, I could totally see that.
I think we may need another story.
Yeah, you're right. It is definitely time for another story. So, anyways. So next
now
one
for
up,
the rest of the story.
This next one is from RU. And let me get my... Lost my IRC window 1 second. So I get for clicking on shit. There we go. Okay. So RU sent me this one. It's from BBC News. Coronavirus health leaders' credentials dumped online. Twitter is actively removing lists of email addresses and passwords, allegedly, from the National Institute of Health and the World Press or in the World Health Organization, the BBC has learned. They were initially posted to the message group 4chan. Dun, dun, dun. According to a report from an organization which monitors right-wing extremism. Why are you monitoring 4chan for right-wing extremism? That's like... It's like 4chan
that's
is
where
the noise
the
of the internet.
For the Drew.
The BBC understands that some of the credentials are from old hack attacks. Site Intelligence Group did not say who posted them or if they were authentic. Later, the list was also posted to Pastebin, which is often used to reveal hacked information, and Twitter, which is, even though they didn't tag it, also used to reveal hacked information. I love it when they do that. Oh, Pastebin, which is usually used by hackers, and, you know, Twitter. But, like, hackers don't use Twitter?
Well, hackers don't know how to tweet. That's for them new kids.
In a tweet, site's director Rita Katz said the alleged list was being used by far-right extremists as part of a harassment campaign. No, I'm pretty sure you just had some hack somewhere and they're just harassing you because it's a list. It's not, probably not to do with far-right or left. I mean, it's just that's just what happens on the internet. It's people get harassed. I mean, I guess it could be far-right groups, but... I don't know. I haven't been following what's far right and far left anymore for a while. She also gave details of the research, which indicated that 9,938 emails and passwords came from the National Institute of Health, 6,857 from the Centers for Disease Control, 5,120 from the World Bank. I think that's more interesting than the rest of them, is the World Bank there. 2,732 from the World Health Organization, 269 from the Gates Foundation, and 21 from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Wait a minute. Does that mean China has better security than the Gates Foundation? Because that's just comedy. The national
fewer people targeting it. They had less money per capita.
Possibly smaller organizations.
I mean, to me, the headline should be 5,000 accounts from World Bank compromised, also some from the CDC and the National Health Institute. Because I would think that would be the much more interesting hack, is they're in the World Bank.
Yeah.
Possibly the Gates Foundation, too, because they keep a lot of money in that, don't they?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
The National Institute of Health told the BBC it was investigating the leak, but none of the other organizations have responded to requests for comment. Gates Foundation told the Washington Post, which originally broke the news, that it was investigating but had no evidence of a data breach. Security researcher Robert Potter tweeted that he believed the leaked WHO credentials were genuine but from an earlier attack. Healthcare agencies are traditionally quite bad at cybersecurity, he wrote once. That's true. The BBC understands that the World Bank credentials are also probably from an old attack. Some right-wing groups have questioned the science around the coronavirus pandemic. Okay, blah, 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 politics. Yeah. The WHO has called the amount of false or misleading information about COVID-19 an infodemic.
You know, odds are somebody just went around and scraped up a bunch of credentials and packaged it all up to fucking get some attention to it.
Right? When he sent me this story, he said he had been looking around a lot and couldn't really find much evidence of this stuff. And okay. I did some poking, too, and I couldn't find it either. Now, that said, by the time it's hitting the news articles, a lot of times it's cleaned up off of the usual suspects. Yeah. But,
A possible possibility is somebody, you know, they got these credentials, they did what they wanted to do with them, and then leaked it. So that could be what they mean by an old attack. Like, maybe they weren't public, but everybody's, like, half these people already know they've been popped.
Well, yeah, like you said, it sounds like it's from old hacks, right? So... And they were making really, really sure to make sure we knew in that article that it was the far-right extremists who were doing this. And it's like, dude, it's just internet trolls. They're, you know, trolls gonna troll. But, you know, of course, you know, he had all the protests lately of people who want the lockdown ended. And, you know, there's the conspiracy theories floating around. But, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna have that with any major event.
Yeah. Oh, there's been some pretty serious astroturfing campaigns for all that crap.
And it's like, you know, I've been of the mind that you don't need to panic, you don't need to hoard toilet paper, but it doesn't mean you need to be stupid about it.
Yeah, just practice some common sense.
You know, it's probably not a bad thing to wash your hands occasionally. Just saying. Yeah. You know, from the work, that, you know, office, they told us to work from home. Fine, give me an excuse to work from home, clean up
It's just a bunch of people trying to use an emergency for political capital.
On both sides, you know, yeah. So, I mean,
I mean, like, I saw there's, like, an anti-vaxxer group who went to some playground somewhere, tore down the tape saying it was closed. So it's just a bunch of moms with their kids. And then they called the police on themselves. and spent 40 minutes arguing with the cop on camera trying to get him to arrest one of them. And eventually one of them basically demanded that the cop arrest her, so he did. And then tried to use that to get a bunch of fucking donations and whatever else. Like, to me, that's fucking child abuse. You know, you can't be using your kids for that sort of crap. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I really wish they'd leave the political left and right crap out of this. I mean, they're not going to. Of course they're not going to. But it's like, okay, this is actually real. This isn't just politics. There are people who are sick. There are people who are dying.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And
it does.
Every fucking article. For the past month, every article I find is COVID this. You know, sick this and that. Wuhan flu this. And it's just like...
I'm getting so burnt out on the news.
I know. I'm having a hard time doing the show.
There's going to be a big... we're totally derailed on talking about the virus again.
I don't care.
That's all anybody ever talks about. But I predict that, like, we're kind of hitting that stage where everybody's kind of getting used to it. They're letting their guard down. And, you know, we're probably going to see a big flare-up in a couple of weeks because everybody's kind of, you know, given less of a shit.
We're going to see a big flare-up because here's the facts. We don't have a vaccine. We're not going to be able to keep everyone locked up until we get a vaccine. So yeah. Eventually, we're going to have to go back to work. It's just, do we wait a couple more weeks, or do we go to work next week? Whatever. And when that happens, we're going to have a flare-up. What we should try to do is just be a bit nuanced. If you're in a high-risk group, quarantine, see about extending unemployment benefits. If you're in a low-risk group, go back to work.
So I propose that we keep the lockdown, but we take infected people and go door to door and intentionally expose, like, I don't know, 5-10% of the population every week. And, you know, after a little while, everybody will have their herd immunity. Problem will be solved. You know, retirement homes and lockdown and everything, so you only expose the people who probably aren't going to die. Hope for the best.
That would be interesting.
I can just imagine somebody in a, like, wheeling this poor, sick COVID fucking victim on a dolly down the street going door to door.
What you do is you grab one of the 21-year-olds. They're generally symptom-free, so they feel great.
Swab is describing how they immunized people from smallpox back in the day. So
I'm just going to need you to run to these 5 or 10 neighborhoods and cough on people.
Oh, you could do it stealth.
We'll follow him with the drone and make sure he's really doing it, because it can detect the cough. Oh. Although, I will say, now they're saying that cats can get the woohoo flu.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say, now you've really pissed off the internet, China. What are you going to do about them? I mean, we've all seen the documentary, Don't Fuck With Cats, right?
So, if people were going out and shooting 5G towers because they thought that gave them the virus.
I know.
Oh, better keep your cat indoors for the next few weeks, guys.
My cat doesn't go outside anyways. We're not dealing with that shit.
That would so suck. What happened to Mittens? Some idiot shot her. Save himself from the woohoo flu.
You guys want to move on and talk about
sad.
Twitter?
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is a story about Twitter.
Okay. Next article is another Twitter story, because I don't remember where we were on the first one. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Health leaders credentials. Yeah, we pretty much covered that.
This is from The Verge. Judge dismisses Twitter lawsuit that sought to reveal government surveillance requests. Company argued its free speech rights were being violated. A federal judge has ruled that Twitter cannot reveal surveillance requests it received from the U.S. government, putting an end to a legal battle that lasted 6 years, Reuters reported. I guess since Swalf's here, we could call it Rooters to listen to him squirm.
What are you? Was no, the one that had a problem with Rooters?
I don't remember. That was an IHN joke a long time ago, and I think it was contrived. I don't think that was a real thing. I think that was something they pretended to be pissed off about just to... let's get some IHN conspiracy theories going here. So, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers wrote in her order that Twitter's request to reveal part of its draft transparency report would likely lead to grave or imminent harm to the national security. Twitter sued the Justice Department in 2014, arguing that its free speech rights were being violated since it was prohibited from revealing the number of government surveillance requests it receives. While other companies, including Google and Facebook, reached an agreement with the U.S. government and earlier in 2014 to break out national security requests in broad numbers, Twitter said that the measures was insufficient, allowing Twitter or any other similarly situated company to only disclose national security requests within overly broad range seriously undermines the objective of transparency. Twitter's policy director, Jeremy Kessel, wrote at the time. In a statement emailed to The Verge on Saturday, a Twitter spokesperson said the company was disappointed with the court's decision, but that it would continue to fight for transparency, adding that freedom of expression is the cornerstone of why we exist. We believe it is vital that the public see the demands we receive and how we work to strike a balance between respecting local law, supporting people's ability to tweet, and protecting people from harm, the spokesperson said. So, yep, judge said, sorry, you can't tell us, you can't reveal how many times the government's getting information from you.
No, okay, I have
how
the solution to this.
That lead to grave or immediate harm to national security.
They probably can't prove it, but that's what the NSA told them, so...
Okay, so here's the thing. The judge said it was an overly broad range of requests. So they just need to submit a separate request for every single request that's been made by the government.
Oh, no. The government said it's okay to include government requests in large numbers, like showing the number of... like some other overly broad number that doesn't break out the number that are national security requests.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah.
So it's the government asked for 3,000 tweets, yeah. Not the NSA asked for 2,000. The FBI asked for 12.
Yeah.
The NSA asked for how many ever.
And they probably can't even say the number of tweets, you know, in that context. It's probably more like the government asked for more than 3,000 tweets, you know, and then they'd have another number somewhere else, like saying the total number of requests from all governments was, you know, 6 million, whatever the hell, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can probably include it in things like that, but they can't break it down to like, and the, you know, like Madman would say, the FBI, you know, asked for X and. Yep. So, not terribly surprising, but.
And I mean, really, if you're doing sketchy things, probably shouldn't be posting about it on Twitter.
That's a good point. You know, if you're going to be dumb enough to go online and brag about whatever the FBI is interested in, probably not. Yeah. Probably not that high functioning of an individual. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, next article. This one's from theverdict.co.uk. YouTube CEO will ban any coronavirus content against WHO guidelines. YouTube will ban any content containing medical advice that contradicts World Health Organization coronavirus recommendations, according to CEO Susan Wojcicki, which means, what, a month ago, if you were telling people to wear masks, you would have been told you're wrong, even though now you're correct.
But what if I'm getting this from, I don't know, the British Health Agency?
If it contradicts WHO, apparently the WHO wins. I'm betting that other... you can't even have a roundtable discussion on YouTube about this stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, you say something like take vitamin C to boost your immunity. That's not allowed.
So actually,
WHO didn't recommend that.
This is a good time to address something. I got a note the other day wanting to know why Pure Decking wasn't in the iTunes podcast feed.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think somebody had actually added us, but it wasn't me. I give out the RSS feeds, and that's it, because I host them. They're on my server. Well, yeah. I'm paying for that server. It's not going through a third-party service. I'm not going through a YouTube. I'm not going through Twitter. I'm not going through iTunes or any of these other aggregation services where your content is subject to question, right? So if I had my feed on iTunes and cared significantly about listener numbers, which neither of which are true, I think I have about maybe 20 or 30 regular listeners. I don't care. Because like we talked about last week, we do this for fun. If I happen to have a handful of listeners, cool. You know, if you jump in the IRC, right now we've got Psychros, DPView, Herrats, myself, Sard, Sard's Bot, and Suave. So, you know, you go to galaxy15radio.com. We start about 9-ish on Thursdays Central. You can get in the IRC. You can bark things at me. I might read it. I try to. I usually do. But it depends on how much I've had to drink throughout the course of the show, too. It's, you know. If the screen's gone all wobbly, I might not be responding to your IRC. I don't put out the feed and all these aggregation services because I don't want to be subject to their rules.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't have this conversation right now questioning, you know, who's allowed to determine what truth is, because if I was doing this on YouTube and, like, doing the whole, you know, recording our screens and doing the YouTube conversation thing, or maybe, you know, coming back in and animating photos over it, you know, internet historian style over our conversations, we couldn't have this conversation. It'd get cut. It'd get demonetized or destroyed, or I don't really know what the terms are. But I've looked into doing a YouTube channel a couple of times, and I've still got some ideas that I might come back and do. They won't be associated with Galaxy 15. I'll be using a different name. It'll be me, so if you know my voice, you might be able to figure it out. But, you know, I wouldn't be acknowledging one from the other. They're entirely separate entities, because if you're on one of these platforms, like a YouTube or a Facebook or an iTunes, you're subject to their rules. You know, I can sit here and say fuck repeatedly for 20 minutes if I want to. I don't know why anybody would listen to that, but we could. You know, RU, BSV used to do their 4chan show where they'd get people to come on and say the worst stuff they could, and then be like, what, that's all you got? So, you know, the call-in show you guys used to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, you couldn't do it on these platforms because that's not advertiser-friendly. Or in this case, it's, you know, because it contradicts WHO recommendations. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have the open platform. I'd rather have a low listener count. I'd rather have no money. I mean, there's no money associated with this. Occasionally, you know, at the last meetup, you guys kicked in a couple of bucks to help me cover the server costs. But
yeah, that probably ran out like a decade ago.
I think I spent that money at the con. Yeah. You know, but it's like, you know, whatever, right? I don't care to run it. It's not that expensive, but and not my day job. So, whatever, right? You know, I'd rather have the open platform. Yeah.
When it comes to this, Twitter, Facebook, they're not in a position to say who's a good authority. Because the authorities aren't in a good position to say who's a good authority. This is all still guesswork and we're mumbling through it. University of Austin may come out with one peer-reviewed study and their sample size could be skewed. And then the University of West Anglican could come out with a different one and we're still looking at what the results are, what their sample was, and they might not be as directly... They might not be contradicting each other as much as a layperson could think. Or someone that's not adverse in statistics. And you're just discussing these things.
Rats in the IRC is like, well, do you do donations? Like, no, No. There is no money. I've never set up. I'm just repeating what I put in the RC there. I've never set up anything for that. Honestly, it cost me about $30 a month. It's fine. It's okay. I make enough money at my day job. It's fine. Plus, if we did
By the way, I did set up a Patreon link.
So as long as you called it something else, I don't care. No,
that's just for my vacation fund.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, no, real fans account. He set up a real fans account. Or at least we set up a real fans account for him.
With all these photos, he doesn't know we took. Wait, what?
Deep fake
only fans,
is a
only
thing.
Fans. Yeah, Rats is correct.
No, it's the inverse. Only fans. You give us money, or we post revealing photos of morphs.
And trust me, you don't want those. It's like, now here's the real question: is it actually a photo of morphs is behind, or is it just Madman making a, folding up his arm and taking a picture of the joint? Bare PCB photos. Scandalous. Anyways. So, yeah.
Or electronic erotica.
You should bring back your porn for the blind show, Madman. I think you got about 5 minutes into that before we refused to record anymore, but, you know.
Oh. Yeah, that could be great. Those Harlequin romance novels are really good for porn for the blind.
Oh, God.
Dicks get into some freaky, kinky shit. It's just not visual.
So, hang on a couple of stories. I've got something for that. For the last story before we go to Dojo. I'm just going to leave
it. We'll 3D print what you say.
That's horrifying. Speaking on CNN's reliable sources, Wojcicki said the Google-owned video streaming platform would be removing information that is problematic. Oh, that is
awfully vague.
Yeah. She told host Brian Stelter, who looks like a goblin. I mean, the dude is creepy looking. Anyways, she told host Brian Stelter that this would be include anything that is medically unsubstained. Wow. It's so broad. How do you do that? How do you say anything medically unsubstantiated? So
anything that hasn't gone through Health and Human Services or the FDA?
Yeah. So people saying take vitamin C, take turmeric, we'll cure you. Those are the examples of things that would be a violation of our policy, she said. Recommendations to take vitamin C, which is something my doctor tells me to do anyways. Yep. Wow.
To be fair, it may not cure the coronavirus, but it's not going to hurt.
Well, I mean, I'll take the scurvy. I'm following the YouTube guidelines. Fuck. Anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. While the decision has been welcomed by many, some have been accused of the streaming giant. Some have accused the streaming giant of censorship. You don't say. The comments from Wojcicki on how YouTube is handling the content related to the coronavirus follow a ban on the platform earlier this month on videos linking COVID-19 to 5G networks. I didn't know they did that, but I'm not surprised. Theories wrongly linking coronavirus to 5G have been on the rise in the past few months, but received considerable attention when conspiracy theorist David Icke promoted the theory in a live-streamed interview. It's a live stream. What are you supposed to do? Just have people tackle him and beat the shit out of him for saying something? YouTube announced that it would be deleting the video and that it would be enacting a ban on the conspiracy theory following the interview. The streaming giant has also been forced to change its position on placing adverts next to content related to coronavirus. In March, YouTube announced that it would demonetize coronavirus videos, effectively putting a ban on adverts before such videos as part of an ongoing policy related to advertising on sensitive events content. However, it made a U-turn on the decision on the 12th over concerns that the decision was causing considerable harm to content creators because you couldn't even talk about it without getting demonetized. So, yeah. Anyways, there's nothing else to say here other than just yeah, YouTube is knee-jerking to way too much crap.
Yeah.
I mean, the correct answer is to just sit back and do nothing. That is the correct answer. You know, what, you know, the best answer to bad speech is better speech. It's not to ban things. I mean, I guess that is the whole theory of free speech, isn't it? But
yeah, I mean, like, crazy people are going to be crazy. If they don't find their craziness on YouTube, they'll find it somewhere else.
Yeah, and then you contribute to the conspiracy by saying, look, YouTube's trying to cover it up. Banning people and not letting us speak our minds. So
that, and how effective is it? YouTube's only going to be going to pull it when someone notifies them.
I mean,
so they're going to get hundreds of views before then.
Like, actual porn videos will live on YouTube for weeks before they finally get noticed and pulled down. So, whatever, right? So, this next article is from RU, and it's the BBC. RU sent it to me. And this is a weird one. I did some more digging into this outside of just this article, trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Oh, I've already thrown the link out. DeForce hacker returns $25 million in stolen cryptocurrencies. A mystery hacker allegedly stole $25 million in cryptocurrencies and then returned the funds 2 days later. Sure he did. Records show that the funds in a variety of cryptocurrencies were withdrawn from DeForce, the platform based in China. A sum of $10 million was taken in Ethereum, for example, while a further $10 million was taken in digital coins tied to the U.S. dollar and $4 million in other coins. Roughly the same amount has now been returned, although in a different mix of cryptocurrencies. DeForce is an online service that allows users to make cryptocurrency transactions with one another. The hackers have attempted to contact us, and we intend to enter into discussions with them, wrote DeForce founder Mido Yang in a blog shortly after the attack happened on Sunday. This attack not only harmed our users, our partners, and my co-founders, but also me personally. My assets were stolen in this attack too, he added. Mr. Yang has promised a further update on the situation later today, which never came. The BBC has also contacted DeForce for comment. In a technical blog post about the alleged hack, blockchain security researcher firm PeckShield explained how the attacker managed to withdraw cryptocurrency by tricking the DeForce system. In essence, the attacker was allegedly able to withdraw funds by convincing the system that money had been deposited when in fact it had been siphoned away. It sounds like he was rewriting his post to make it so he was depositing negative funds or something like that. I mean, who knows? It depends on how it's coded, but I checked out this guy's Medium account, the founder's account, and they talk about getting the money back, but there's no real information about what happened or why the money was returned. And the fact
somebody took it, got a couple of days worth of interest on it and gave it back.
I mean, possibly, but I feel like.
Or is this just like an ass-covering measure where they're like, okay, pull out the emergency funds, let's pretend.
Like he's got,
or
a bunch
even
of...
just like, let's cook the books and pretend we got it back.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is I don't know what's going on here with this whole they got it back mysteriously 2 days later. It's like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Not unless what actually happened was some kind of a systems error and they corrected it, or more likely,
maybe the hacker like fucking stole the money and then realized that like. Oh, that's actually my girlfriend's dad that I stole that money from. Better give that back.
Well, the fact that they got the money back in a different mix of cryptocurrencies makes me think somebody who works at the company was trying to go play one of the exchanges with the customer's money. And then, you know, when it was noticed, returned it as quickly as possible. Thinking,
that makes sense.
I'll take a couple of $1 million for a few days. Nobody will notice. And then I'll put it back. So this screams insider threat to me because it was put back.
Yeah.
You know, if this was some outside hacker who didn't give a crap about the existence of the company, they wouldn't have put it back. And I mean, I guess like you said, the girlfriend theory or something, but I highly doubt that.
You don't think it's the hacker that just, I wanted to see if I could get in their system and what I could do.
Well,
a really nice hacker that's mythical.
I mean, it's possible it was somebody just testing something and realized what happened and then put it back. But If that was the case, why did they put it back in a different mix of crypto currencies?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one.
So, yeah, I think, especially because it's a China-based company, I think something shady happened on the back end. And you're right, this is either somebody covering or, you know, this is somebody putting it back because they work at the place and they're trying to, you know, undo the damage, or one of the co-founders or the owner went to go play the markets to see if he could make another couple of million just playing the markets for a few days and then put it back because people noticed. So, and he's got a bunch of posts on his Medium about, if you were affected by this negatively, we were going to make you whole and all this other stuff. So it's like, yeah, if you got all the money back and you're worried about making people whole still, that says to me you did something with it. That doesn't scream hacker. It's also really, I mean, that's always the standard cry when people get caught doing something stupid. Oh, my account was hacked. I didn't send those dick pics. You know. Is it this on a meta level? I don't know. Looks like it to me, but what do I know? So, anyways, next article. This one's from The Verge, and it's just, you know, pure comedy gold. It's not a bad use of these things, but Boston Dynamics Spot Robot is helping hospitals remotely treat coronavirus patients. You know, those creepy dog-looking robots that people are always kicking in the videos? Yeah, they've strapped an iPad to the front of it so they can do telemedicine with it. It's like, you know, so somebody's got the woohoo flu, they're losing their mind, and here comes this evil-looking fucking dog robot, you know, the creepy-looking thing where the legs are always kicking up weird, and it's like, ah! Robot maker Boston Dynamics announced on Thursday that its quadruped Spot robot is already in use at one Boston hospital to help with coronavirus treatment. The company now has ambitious plans to expand the use of its robots to assist healthcare workers during the pandemic. It's also open sourcing the hardware and software, so it's using other... Oh, wait. It's also open sourcing the hardware and software it's using, so other hospitals and robot makers may be able to follow its lead. Okay, if they're open sourcing the robot, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because I missed that when I skimmed this before. Because if that's the case, I expect to see lots of 3D printed copies of this thing all over Thingiverse.
I'm guessing it's probably more like they're open sourcing like their API or something like that.
Yeah, parts of it.
And like the hardware mounts and stuff and everything else is still proprietary.
BSV, did you have something? I thought you lit up.
I was just going to say, you wouldn't download a robot, would you?
That's where you're wrong. I have, it's locked up in my office at work, so I haven't seen it for months, a 3D printed plaque that's, you know, at the top of it is that you wouldn't download a car commercial, and at the bottom it just says, that's where you're wrong, and has a progress bar, and it says car.stl. So, the hospital, Brighton, Brigham and Women's Hospital of Harvard University, has been using a spot unit since last week for remote triage of patients suspected of having COVID-19. Right now, Boston Dynamics, which was formerly owned by Google and is now owned by Japanese communications giant SoftBank, is deploying Spot as a telemedicine machine. It's using a custom mount and an enclosure for an iPad or a similar size screen to be used for video conferencing between the doctors and other healthcare workers and patients. Why? You could have strapped this to any remote-controlled car or, you know, just a Segway without a rider on it. Okay, maybe not that one. But, yeah, so...
Well, I've actually seen dedicated remote presence robots that are kind of set up like a Segway. It's just got two wheels. You drive around. It's basically got an iPad for a head.
Yeah, this...
Probably
this
have is, a lot cheaper than a Spot Mini.
Yeah, this is just advertising for the Spot thing. Today marks the second week of Spot's presence at a local Boston hospital, Brigham and Women's, where the robot is being deployed as a mobile telemedicine platform, enabling healthcare providers to remotely triage patients, the company said in a statement. We're listening to their feedback on how Spot can do more but are encouraged by the reports that the robot has helped their nursing staff minimize time exposed to potentially contagious patients. Telemedicine in the context of coronavirus is about reducing contact between healthcare workers and those who may transmit COVID-19. General concept is simple: by reducing exposure with healthcare workers by using the robot and other means of remote communication, you can keep those best equipped to comment. Okay, blah, 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 blah. The rest of this is pretty much an ad for Boston Dynamics. But yeah, they basically slapped an iPad on top of it, and they're using this to like run out to patients' cars to talk to them if they think they have, you know, the boomer and tumor. So
I mean, like, the remote thing is that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the whole spot thing though, like, I'd be more impressed if they had that arm still attached and maybe like a multi-injector and some other stuff attached, make it look real menacing. So, you know, you've got somebody out in their car and the robot comes rushing up and they're like, please stay
still,
ma'am. Stabs
them, takes the blood sample and goes off without explaining itself.
Yes.
Or, you know, you've got this huge thing to carry around an iPad. You know, why not have the little siphon kit so that somebody just, okay, jam the swab in the back of your throat. There you go. We'll go run the test. You know, have it carrying something besides just an iPad, right?
Yeah.
So, because they've got a couple of different pictures of it.
Although,
and
to be fair,
it's just an iPad on a mount.
I mean, like, a little bit of duct tape could really add a few features to this thing. You know, you want to do the swab thing? Sure, just tape a couple containers to it.
So, we need to see if you have COVID-19. French kiss the robot. Since we're already on that track, let's just go to the last article here. Speaking of nightmare fuel rats.
Uh-oh.
Zoom. This is from insider.com. Zoom says it's using machine learning to detect nudity as virtual sex parties spread.
Oh, that's awesome. So I'm assuming they want to detect the nudity so they can make sure to record those ones.
Well, I mean, obviously. Unless, of course, it's like a dude, right? It's like, oh, that's a dong. Just kill it. Just kill the meeting. While the coronavirus pandemic and resultant social distancing measures have proven devastating to entire industries, the new normal has provided an unparalleled opportunity for one particular company, Zoom. A video conferencing platform that facilitates remote business meetings has become a staple of quarantine life and all remote communications, reporting 200 million daily users in March. In a message posted on the company's blog, CEO Eric Yuan said that the platform's new users included teachers and students from 90,000 schools across 20 countries. In an effort to find levity amid a global health crisis, users are hosting parties on the platform, experimenting with whimsical backgrounds and posting their entertaining Zoom mishaps online. As Rolling Stone reported, the app is now playing host to virtual sex parties, play parties, and group check-ins, which have become, as one host said, the mutual mutual appreciation jerk-off society.
Wow.
According to...
Hey, you know what? If we can keep them all in one space and they don't come spilling over into other areas...
It's fine. According to Zoom's acceptable use policy, users may not use the technology to engage in any activity that is harmful, obscene, or indecent, particularly as such would be understood in the context of business usage. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but around here, I mean, the GIMP mask is mandatory for your interns. I don't know about you. I mean... The policy specifies that this includes displays of nudity, violence, pornography, sexually explicit material, or criminal activity. So just anime in general, then. We encourage users to report suspected violations of our policies, and we use a mix of tools, including machine learning, to proactively identify accounts that may be in violation, a spokesperson for Zoom told Rolling Stone. While Zoom executives did not respond to the outlet's questions about the specifics of the machine learning tools or how the platform might be altered or might be alerted to nudity and pornographic content, a spokesperson did add that the company will take a number of actions against people found to be in violation of the specified acceptable use. When reached for comment, a spokesperson for Zoom referred insiders to the acceptable use policy as well as the platform's privacy policy, which states that Zoom does not monitor your meetings or its contents. Spokesperson also pointed out to Yuan's message in which he addressed how the company had fallen short of users' privacy and security expectations, referencing instances of harassments and Zoom bombings, and laid out the platform's action plan going forward. Plans included a feature freeze, creating a transparency report that details information regarding requests for data, records, or content, and holding a weekly webinar detailing privacy and security updates to the platform. I'm not surprised that people are hosting mutual jerk-off appreciation societies in Zoom. I am.
How the hell do you do a virtual circle jerk?
I'm guessing a bunch of people sit around jack off in front of a webcam.
Jerking yourself off. It's not a circle jerk.
I'm just imagining the ChatterBait executives being like, "What the fuck, Zoom? That's our market."
I'm more curious about the Zoom bombing. I've never actually used Zoom, but like, are these channels like publicly listed or something like that?
So it's like WebEx in that your meeting in Zoom is identified by a number.
And okay, and people are just trying random ones.
Yep, if you know the format for the URLs, you can just plug in whatever number you want, and if the meeting doesn't have a password on it, you can connect. Gotcha. So most organizations are now using passwords on their Zoom meetings or making them invite-only. So
yeah,
the person running it has to send you a special invite link to let you in. Usually it just means it has a key included in the URL as well, so those are actually guessable as well. And of course, Zoom was in hot water a couple of weeks ago because they weren't doing end-to-end encryption, even though they were advertising that they were, and a bunch of other problems. But they've got security issues at the wazoo. But yeah, there were a couple of stories early on about like schools were using it for remote classrooms and internet learning and shit like that because nobody's going to school right now, and people were figuring out, oh, that's a meeting of a bunch of students. And then, like, doing the dick twirl on the webcam and shit like that in front of elementary schoolers.
That's terrible.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, like, why don't they, if I were Zoom, instead of, like, going through all this effort to break their privacy policy where they say they don't monitor your meetings or contents or any of that crap, why don't they just put a report button on that sends a screenshot, like a freeze frame when the report button's pushed?
Oh, you don't need
and
an
like
account.
The IP address or whoever, whatever, send it to the...
Oh, I think they probably do have a report function. I doubt it's in the meetings because that'd be distracting in a business meeting. You got to remember, this thing was built for companies to host, product demos, webinars, trainings, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone working remote right now is very familiar with either this or WebEx because all day long.
But I feel like they have a great business opportunity to leverage themselves into some form of social network.
I like what Rats is saying in the IRC there. It's like, why isn't everybody doing this on VR chat? And yeah, that's actually interesting. I participated in a security conference. We talked about it on Decking a couple of weeks ago in AltSpace, which was... It's not VR chat, but it's along those lines. It's kind of not quite as much Second Life as VR chat is, but it's in that vein. Everybody's cartoon people, but you don't have nearly the options that you do for avatars like you do in VR chat. Like, nobody's running around as anime characters or furries. So you're either a cartoon person or a cartoon robot. But there was InfoSec Oasis last weekend, in which I discovered wearing a VR headset for 8 hours really hurts your fucking eyes. So, but it was fun. You did get that, even though it's all cartoony, and you still got that sense of being at a conference, right? you know, walking around, talking to a few people, some jackass there spamming his links. But, you know, talking to a couple of con presenters and things like that. And, of course, being all remote, some people had real issues with the their audio. And, you know, you occasionally had kids wander in just screaming and shit like that. So you got real good at muting the random walkthrough who, you know, kids screaming at people and things like that. But, you know, because anybody who's played with one of the newer VR headsets, you do get that sense of space when you put the thing on, like you're there, kind of. So, yeah, it felt like being at a conference until you pull the thing off because you got to go to the bathroom or get something to eat. And then you're, you know, oh, yeah, I'm on my couch. So, but it worked. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I think they needed longer breaks between the talks so you could take the headset off and, you know, relax your eyes a bit. Or just use the 2D client, which isn't nearly as fun because then it's, you know, might as well use a WebEx or something, right? But anyways. So, but I just, Zoom is trying to stop people from doing sex parties on their platform. And that's the reason it's happening on there is because unlike something like a VR chat, Zoom is really easy to get a meeting up and going. You set up a free account to host it. Only the host needs an account. Everybody else just connects to a URL, install the little plugin, and, you know, you're in. And it's better compared to something like Skype,
right,
than like a VR chat or a social platform. So, but yeah, you're right. If they were smart about it, they probably would pivot this and start launching a social platform based off of it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, like I'm reading something about it like every day. People are talking about it a lot.
Oh yeah.
I just checked their stock price. It's doubled in the last couple of months.
As much usage as they got, I should hope so.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's all the stories I've got. So let's do this. So I only have one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo because, believe me, finding links and stuff right now sucks. It's all coronavirus all the time. Everyone's in panic mode 24/7. Tattoo it on the forehead. So trying to find anything for Digital Dojo here lately has just been a chore. So what I have for you tonight is this website called grabify.link. Now what this thing does is hilarious. You set up a freebie account on it, and it's a URL shortener. But rather than just being a shortener, your account creates tracking codes. So your shortened URL is a very specific URL. You're giving this URL to one person and saying, oh, here, go check out this Wikipedia article about you, and it'll be a Grabify link, right? And I think they've got a few different domains and things like that. But it then captures as much as possible through a browser about the person who clicks the link and then forwards them to the website. So you get their IP, their operating system, screen resolution, country code. I mean, anything the browser can grab. Fonts, language packs on the computer. I mean, all of it, right? I mean, this thing is hilarious. And then you can take the IP lookup that it gives you and go look up, you know, where they actually are. And I found this watching people mess with scammers. Because they were sending scammers these Grabify links to make sure that they were really in, like, Nigeria or, you know, Liberia or some other part of Africa. And you know, it's just like, because, of course, you know, when you're messing with somebody or, you know, you just need to figure out who they are and you need a real IP, you set up an account with this guy and there you go. Get them to click a link and you can find out as much as you can get out of their browser. So, and of course, just like any other URL shortener, you could, you know, obviously send them to something and tell them the link is to something else. It's like, you know, instead of saying, here, check out this thing, is this what you're talking about? You know, and then linking the actual thing, you say, here, check out this Wikipedia article somebody wrote about you, and it's actually a Rickroll, and you still get their IP and all this shit. So, or if you're a madman, it could be a link to a Harlequin baby image. I mean, you know, whatever. But which is why I will never click any link from Madman ever.
But it's not always Harlequin babies. Sometimes it's funny YouTube videos and a Harlequin baby.
So, but yeah, this thing is just hilarious. If you have the opportunity to use it, or if you're needing to, you know, or if you just get somebody who you're wanting to see what they're running, or if they're, you know, where they are, I mean, shoot, why not, right? So, but you can totally set up tracking URLs with this stuff, and it's great, and it's free, and hilarious. So, and probably a really good reason to be running a VPN and a virtual machine. That's, Ari, you'd be happy. We're just over an hour. That's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. IRC changed from when I read it out earlier. Well, of course, join the IRC. We try to start the show at 9 o'clock on Thursdays, Central. You just go to galaxy15radio.com. There's a thing on the front page. Or connect to Freenode. And it's the channel Galaxy 15 Radio. In there, myself, Sardonyx. Sardonyx is bot. Psychros, DPView, Herdrats, Madman, and Suave. Listen to stream always. I think I said that. The subreddit. Is that all the plugs? Is that everything I'm supposed to say at the end of the show? Closing thoughts. BSV, closing thoughts.
Excellent. Sorry, my brain has left the building. You're
trying to find one of those Zoom sex parties, huh? Fair enough. Madman, closing thoughts.
I was thinking, how left out of a Zoom sex party do you have to be to report it? I mean, in a disorganized circle jerk, you're not getting whacked off. That's just because no one knows how to form a proper circle. In a Zoom circle jerk, no one is getting jacked off. It's just like, you know, beating off at home by yourself, except you're on a video with other people. So you are just as much getting as much attention as anyone else, and you still feel the need to narc?
Maybe this is where teledildonics could, you know, really come into play.
So then I can understand why someone would be narking. If they had a bad connection, or their whatever thingy wasn't working, and they think they're being left out, that would be a reason to narc.
This is where somebody hacks into it and makes it run like 3 times faster than it's supposed to or something.
Oh, God, you're mutilated. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Suave, closing thoughts.
So I'm going to be posting a link to a cool video in the IRC channel in a minute. Everybody should click on that. It's totally legit. Don't worry about it. Don't look at the text or anything.
Why does this go to hackme.net? I don't understand. Would you guys try a VR chat meetup? I don't know, man. The last time I went in VR chat, it was pretty weird. mean, and truth is, we actually got this group started in Second Life, so that, I mean, that'd be kind of full circle, wouldn't it?
It would.
I wouldn't be opposed to the idea, but I don't want to explain to RU how to get into VR chat.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a dry run.
Oh, we'll just see a bunch of penguins with fros, and they're all RU. Like, he's just running a flock of penguins.
Madman would just show up with one of the little anime girl avatars just to fuck with people. Welcome up. Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hey.
Freeze, FBI.
So, have you ever heard the term Lolita?
Well, I can't think of a better time to end the show. Rocket Snell on out of here. I'm going to start hitting buttons on the soundboard now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down to go nose down and call the night.
Shut up, Wesley.